Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the psalmist, Psalm 126. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. And our New Testament lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come before you on this day and we ask that you would watch over us and be with us. Help us to remember in all the busyness and chaos and restriction and sadness of this season, this year, that we are to be filled with joy. Joy in you, joy in knowing that you are with us. Lord, bless our time together. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts this day as we seek to consider the joy of Christmas and Advent. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we light the pink candle of joy. Honestly, it's the one I never ever forgot as a young person, because somehow or other, the boys in my family never wanted to light the pink candle. In the middle, or perhaps more appropriately, the middle of the season, we celebrate joy. We celebrate by lighting this candle of joy. As we walk along this Advent journey, we are reminded all the time to make ready and be prepared. We are told to make our lives ready for the coming of Christ, for the birth of Christ. And here, in the midst, instead of hearing of preparation and the austerity of that preparation before Christmas, we are taking a break to celebrate, a break to remember our joy. It's a release valve, a waypoint, so to speak, in the middle. It allows us to stop and smell the poinsettias or setias, to smell the pine trees. It's a chance to look and take stock of where we are and how things are going. The main color of Christmas, of course, is white, and purple marks Advent. And as we go closer, purple becomes white. But in the middle, purple becomes pink. Just a little shade change. It's a more muted color. It doesn't shine as brightly as Christmas. Strangely enough, these holidays and seasons of preparation, which we celebrate as Christians, have these moments, these breaks built into them. It's as if the early church thought of us and thought of our lives, or perhaps knew from their own lives that a break was needed. Think about the austerity of Lent and the preparation, the challenge of preparing, and how every Sunday is supposed to be a mini Easter throughout that season. And here we have the Sunday of joy. But so often we get lost in Advent. In our celebratory fervor, we lose sight in putting up decorations and buying presents, wrapping presents, caroling, baking cookies, and all the ways we ring in Christmas. We don't often take a contemplative approach to Advent. Lent is when we take that slow path. Advent, we rush and rush because time is of the essence and Christmas is coming. So often we treat this season like Liam treats a murder mystery. Liam will be watching Father Brown or Death in Paradise with me, and we'll be sitting there watching, and all of a sudden I'll look up from a book and Liam's fast-forwarding to get to the end because he thinks he knows who did it. He doesn't have the patience to walk through the whole thing. He needs to have Father Brown or Humphrey tell you who did it. But there is no fast forward for Advent. When we're children, we slowly and almost excruciatingly wait for Christmas to arrive. Sure, bribes of Advent calendars stuffed with chocolate do help us slow down the pace, but on the other hand, it almost slows it down too much. And so we count the calendars and the pieces, and sometimes we can't wait. We have trouble being present in the season. But as I said, today is a break, a contrast from the rest of Advent. If Advent is about preparation, making ready, hope and peace in our lives that help us to bring forth, today is all about rejoicing and joy. Advent is preparing us. In our scripture, we have a command right off the bat. To rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, of all of these elements, the one which I would think would be most second nature, most simple to do, is the whole pray without ceasing part. This command shouldn't even be a command for us, because it's something that we should naturally do, to pray without ceasing. There are volumes of books written about the various ways and types of things we can do to pray in our daily lives. There's such a thing as walking prayer. When you're on a treadmill, going for a walk on the rail trail, whatever you're doing, there's a prayer for that. There's work prayers. The fact is, if we ever encounter a time where we say we're too busy to pray, we aren't trying. Because we are never too busy. Because our lives consist of everything that can be prayer and times of prayer. Our lives are filled with moments in which we can pray without ceasing. But the other two parts of this command are less integral to our lives. Giving thanks at all times is not an easy thing for us. If we are praying without ceasing, giving thanks at all times, yes, it should be second nature, it should be a part, but it should just start with our day. The very act of getting up should be an act of thanksgiving. This is the day that the Lord has made. We should greet it and rejoice in what it is. And each day when we hit our pillows with our heads at night, we should be saying thank you for all that God did and is doing. Because God is there with us no matter what. No matter how good or bad things are, God is with us no matter what. An act of thanksgiving is a simple act of being in our world with God. We must remember to give thanks for all God has done every day, all God is doing every single day. Throw into that the birth of Christ, the death and resurrection, into that equation of thanksgiving, and why can't we be thankful is a better question. No matter how bad things are, how normal they are, how regular they are, or how great they are, a prayer, a moment of thanksgiving with us and God to give thanks for all God does is something that should be part and parcel. But we often think of it in terms of there are times and places for thanksgiving, not all moments. Think about an interview after any athletic event, be it a track meet or a football game, a baseball game. What is the winner's first statement? I just want to give thanks to God. You never see the loser say, I want to give thanks to God. It's always, well, we did our best, but it just wasn't good enough. How about we give thanks at all times and in all places? It shouldn't be a balance between two poles, two ends of extremes when we give thanks. In the very bad times, in the very good times, we should be giving thanks at all times. But then we get to that hardest of commands. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Now we do have a difficulty with this one. Because so often, joy of faith gets confused with happiness. Happiness being tied to positive emotions, tied to a state of well-being and contentment. Happiness is as fleeting as good feelings. But joy is deeper than that. Joy is more rooted than that. One can have joy when going through good times, but one can have joy when going through the most excruciating and painful hardship, because joy is not transient. It doesn't come and go. It is, because it is rooted and tied and fettered to the reality of Christ. When I was younger, we had what was known as the children's message, and then we had children's church. And as soon as the children's message was over, the prayer was over, all the boys Moses and some of the girls would be sprinting out of the sanctuary, down the hallway, down the stairs as fast as they could to get to Children's Church for the best seat in the house. Now, we would have a lesson and sing various songs. Some of them were "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rocks." Some of them were the call and repeat, "Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah." And you wanted to be on the hallelujah side, but you also wanted to be on the other side so that you could try and drown out. And it was all about being loud and letting kids just make noise. But then one song was always the one we wanted to sing. And we didn't always get to because apparently we sang it a little too, we were a little too emphatic, we'll say. "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And when the leader would ask us that question of where, all 30 plus kids would suddenly, at the top of their lungs, scream out, "Down in my heart." And then it would repeat and repeat every time. The kids, all of us, would get louder and louder and louder, shouting out that our joy was down in our hearts. I wouldn't say that if we were a cartoon, the teacher's hair would be in one of those blowouts straight back, but I think we could have done that. The fact is, joy is like that children's moment where joy cannot be held down or suppressed. Joy isn't fleeting and passing. It doesn't change from moment to moment or day to day. It is within us forever. It breaks through the austerity of Lent and Advent. For 40 days of Lent, on Sunday, joy bursts forth. It cannot be contained. Our call is not to be happy at all times, brothers and sisters, but to rejoice. To celebrate not in the shifting and changing things that exist in our lives, but to rejoice in that simple, unshakable truth that we have God with us, and that God with us is joy. I'll be honest. Over the last 2 weeks, there has been a lot of sadness in our house. With my mother-in-law dying because of COVID, us not being able to see her in over a year, there is no other way to say it, but we hurt. But in the midst of that hurting, there is still joy. There is still joy in remembering my mother-in-law, in remembering simple moments. The other day, I watched a video from Liam's baptism in which my mother-in-law fell asleep in the chair and someone who will remain nameless took a spray bottle and sprayed her while she was asleep. The act of smiling in the face of sadness is tied to that joy of which we speak. The remembering in sadness, but also the smile through sadness of joy is with us. As we look around at the very divisive times in which we live in, when we look around and see the darkness of so much loss and death, it's hard to be happy right now. It's hard because we have not been together since March. We are filled with loss and grief, not just of people, but of things, of moments in our lives. And yet, as surely as the day is, we still have joy. No matter how bad things get in our world, or how bleak they seem, we, the church, must be able to let joy ring out. In times of hardship like this, we must be like a child in children's church, willing to shout out for the world that we still have joy in our lives. We still have that presence of joy deep within us, within our hearts. We must bring that joy. Bring the source of that joy, that is God, that is Christ, his birth, death, and resurrection, to a world that is hurting. We must remember our joy and tell others of that joy. May that joy be yours in this season. May that joy ring forth in your lives. May your joy shine forth through all the sadness. Amen.